Welcome back, everyone, to the Fantasy Crossover Podcast. My name is Danny Duarte, joined here with my co-host, Brian Acevedo. Today, we're doing an interesting style of draft. So far, we've only done a 12-team and a 10-team league draft. This time around, we're going to do a 14-team draft. This is going to be a snake draft. It's not auction style, so it's not as much of, you know, knowing strategy and just knowing how much money to spend, but it still does require some strategy just because there are 13 other players competing with us. Just before we get started, guys, thank you so much for all the support and love that we've been receiving across all platforms, whether it be Twitter, Instagram, Reddit, and YouTube. You know, the support and just the feedback has been amazing. We really appreciate it. We thrive off of this, and we just want to let you guys know that we do take everything you tell us seriously, and just keep hitting us with any feedback that you may have. Next thing I wanted to let you guys know is that we are going to be doing a fantasy league with some of our listeners. It'll be kicking off on October 9th, would it be? Saturday. It's at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just hit us up if you want to join. It is going to be either a 12-team or a 14-man league. Auction style, there is a buy-in of $20 USD. Again, let us know if you're interested. Brian, do you have anything you want to say to our listeners before we get started?
No, I mean, I think you nailed it. Just wanted to, again, thank you, everybody, for all the support. Loving the fan interaction, especially on Twitter and Instagram. Can't wait to do the league with you guys. Had a lot of fun doing the mock draft last weekend. Obviously, have not had a couple of the strongest drafts that I've had, but thankfully, this is why these are mock drafts. It's an opportunity to practice and just kind of figure out, okay, this is kind of the type of team that I'm looking to draft and build. So excited for the snake draft. Obviously, not as much strategy involved, kind of like you mentioned, but it's going to be interesting, man. We're getting new information on the daily about players, so you're going to see players' values increase and decrease based off that. As you guys can see in the video, there's starting to be some injury designations given to some players. Obviously, a lot of that can kind of be ignored because a lot of it is preseason stuff. So just keep an eye on that. I think that's going to be important to watch, especially as you start drafting here in the next week or two.
All right. Without further ado, the draft is about to begin. When we started off the draft, it was completely full. So I'm sure some of these players are going to get back into it and just, you know, they are waiting for the draft to kick off right now. A couple are on auto draft. But right off the board, first pick, Nikola Jokic. You know, it's a no-brainer at this point. I think everyone is quite aware that Jokic is the number one player for fantasy right now. And next up, we have Connor drafting at second. And right now, ESPN has Giannis Antetokounmpo as the second best player in terms of their rankings.
Yeah, and something to note really quick on both Jokic and Giannis. So Jokic, Mike Malone pretty much came out and said that Jokic is not going to be getting he probably will not be playing 82 games this year. They're going to definitely give him a little bit of a load management, so that's something to kind of keep an eye on. And then as far as Giannis, there have been some reports about him kind of complaining about knee soreness, so that is something to kind of keep an eye on. I know he's a lot of guys' first pick. I'm not saying that's going to be something to deter you from picking him first, but I think it's definitely something worth considering. I went ahead and took James Harden with the number three pick. Just a lot of uncertainty, like we said about Kyrie, and I think just James Harden is a stat sheet stuffer supreme, so there's no reason why not to take James Harden at three.
And just to keep our audio listeners up to date, first overall went Jokic, second overall went Giannis, third overall Brian took James Harden, and fourth Luka Doncic just came off the board. So that's the order that it's gone in so far. And fifth just came off the board as well with KD. So Kevin Durant went at fifth overall. Again, the top 10 is pretty solidified, to be quite honest, across the board for the most part. There are a couple of players that, you know, depending on who you ask, they are going to fluctuate in ranking. Some people may have them higher than others. But for the most part, the top 10 is pretty solidified amongst like the general public.
Yeah, and KD, let me tell you, KD's kind of a hard one to pinpoint. We obviously know he's got top five potential. My question with KD is, how high can he climb? I think a lot of it is going to have to do with his teammates, how how many games are the big three going to actually play together is going to have a big factor in how high these guys actually rank. But kind of like we touched on during our player rankings, all three of them finished basically in the top 20 last year in category rankings. So it would just be difficult to not see them finishing that high this year also.
That's a great point, Brian. And just again, to keep our audio listeners up to the current draft standings, at 6th overall went Steph Curry from the Warriors. And then at 7th overall, Damian Lillard just went. And at 8th overall, the pick is about to be in. I have a feeling it's probably going to be Kat. And it is at 8th overall, Karl-Anthony Towns went. So, you know, with Kat, I think it's pretty interesting just given what's going on. A lot of people are starting to favor the idea that Ben Simmons might end up in Minnesota. And so it begs the question, how does that impact Kat's value? It remains to be seen. And just to keep everyone up to date, Joel Embiid went at 9th overall, and at 10th overall went Jason Tatum.
So obviously the video users can kind of see that the top 10 guys all went top 10. So just so everybody knows that's listening on audio, pretty much Yahoo had those top 10 guys ranked exactly top 10, and that's exactly the order that they kind of went in. So everything kind of holding true to form, no real surprises. There was one of the guys that's coming up here at 13, ranked 13th, is Trae Young. There was a report that he had some quad contusion, so that's something to kind of keep an eye on. And Paul George went at 11, AD went at 12, and now pick number 13 right before the board. Danny, who you kind of have your eye on here with your first round pick now that Trae Young's off the board? So,
Trae Young went 13th. I'll be honest, Bradley Beal personally scares me. Just given his COVID status, it seems like he is going to be holding out. If, you know, just looking at the list, I have back-to-back picks as well. So it's Bradley Beal and Kyrie for the people that can't hear at home. Next is Jimmy, so I'm just going to take a flyer on Jimmy.
Wow.
And wow. To go back, so I took Jimmy with the 14th overall pick. Next up, I am looking at either Domantas Sabonis or possibly Nikola Vucevic. I'll be honest, I think I'm leaning more towards Nikola Vucevic personally.
So here's my thoughts on Danny's. So he picked Butler and Vucevic to build around. So I thought it was shocking that you let Bradley Beal pass, personally. I mean, I know there's obviously a lot of question marks, but he still is going to be 1A and 1B in Washington. So his usage should be through the roof. And then obviously you have Vucevic as an option. I actually prefer Sabonis, man. I think something about Sabonis, I think Vucevic's value goes down slightly, kind of like we talked about during our rankings with all the options in Chicago. I think Sabonis is the clear number one in Indiana. And I think I was just watching some of the preseason game, Pacers versus Knicks. I did see Sabonis take a couple of threes. So that's kind of been his biggest ceiling. The thing stopping him from really hitting his ceiling is the three-pointers. So I think that was an interesting pick you just made there.
Yeah, for me, kind of just to provide insight as to why I did Vucevic instead of Sabonis. Sabonis does shoot a lower free throw percentage, and I definitely don't want to punt free throws right now. And then another factor that I wanted was some defensive stats with the blocks and also with the rebounds, which Nikola Vucevic does provide at a pretty on par level with Sabonis. Actually, he does, I think, average better blocks. And also his turnovers are lower than Sabonis's. So I was just factoring in a couple of the other stats that aren't as appealing to certain people with my decision making just now. And I want to make sure to, keep up to date. So at 16th overall, Bradley Beal got drafted. At 17th overall, Domantas Sabonis got drafted. At 18th overall, Kyrie Irving got drafted. At 19th, Russell Westbrook. At 20th, Bam Adebayo. And at 21st, Zach LaVine.
So really interesting to see Westbrook go top 20. Again, this is a guy that potentially got you to the fantasy championships last year. There's just a lot of question marks. I don't know how long is it going to take for the big three in LA to really get it together. It may be quicker than we've seen past big threes get it together, but that's going to be the biggest question mark and the only thing that I could see really limiting Russell Westbrook's ceiling this year. And then Bam at 20, I saw, again, I don't want to overreact to preseason games, but Bam looked pretty darn good yesterday in their first preseason game against the Hawks. Zach LaVine at 21, Fred VanVleet at 22. Van Vliet may benefit from Pascal Siakam being out, Chris Boucher being out. Obviously, there's no Kyle Lowry in Toronto anymore, so he's been someone that we've kind of seen in that 15 to 25 range in most of the drafts we've done.
Yeah, the only glaring problem with VanVleet is obviously his field goal percentage. Apart from that, you know, he does chip in a lot of categories, and maybe his turnovers could, you know, be improved upon. At 23rd, we saw Donovan Mitchell go. Something that we keep getting is why we rank Donovan Mitchell so low. Guys, it's just his field goal percentage and his turnovers. He's not that efficient from the field, and also he is kind of a high turnover guy. Apart from that, you know, the sky's the limit for the guy. And then at 24th overall, Rudy Gobert. So back-to-back Jazz players. If it had been me personally, I prioritize Gobert over Mitchell. But, you know, it all depends on the team, the team's needs. So it could, it, you know, they very could well have needed a center instead of, a shooting guard, point guard for that player instead of a center. That's why they went that route. And then at 25th, Devin Booker just went. Now it's Brian's pick. Brian, where's your headspace at?
I'm not really going to think too much about it. I was between Shea, Gilgeous-Alexander, and LeBron James, but I'm going to go with LeBron James here, someone I have not picked in any of the mock drafts yet. He's versatile, can play three different positions in Yahoo. Only real weakness is free throw shooting and three-pointers made, but, I mean, when you have LeBron and Harden, I'm getting 8 rebounds a game from each, over 8 assists a game from each, 1 steal a game from each, 25 points per game from each. I mean, I don't think you can get two as well-rounded when it comes to categories as those two guys.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think you made some pretty good selections there, man. At 27, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander off the board. We've spoken at depth about just the opportunity Shea's going to have with that team. The only thing possibly holding him back is a potential shutdown and any possible injury concerns. At 28th overall, LaMelo Ball. Again, a guy that's being drafted in the before the 30s, if not early 30s. So, you know, everyone's pretty high on him. I would say that, you know, he does seem to have a really bright outlook. So let's just see how his sophomore season plays out. At 29th, Julius Randle. No surprise there. Most improved player of the year last year. We don't expect him to take a step back. And at 30th overall, Zion Williamson.
So I'm between MPJ and Brandon Ingram here. We have MPJ ranked 25th coming of the year. Usually he's been gone by this point in time. I'm going to go ahead and go with Michael Porter Jr. And continue just kind of round out my roster here with some scoring and someone that I think is going to get a lot of touches in Denver.
Yeah, solid pick.
Something that stood out to me with MPJ is his field goal percentage from last year. As a small forward, he shot 54% from the field last year. I think that's, I don't know if it's sustainable, but man, if he can get even close to that, you add LeBron's 51%, then I start adding some bigs with some high field goal percentages. It leaves me in a pretty good spot there as far as field goal percentages. So I feel good in that category.
Very smart indeed, my friend. At 32, we have DeAndre Ayton. At 33, we have Brandon Ingram. And at 34, we had Chris Paul just have been drafted. So it was interesting because if I recall correctly, Devin Booker went 25th. Again, I don't know. I if you were to ask me how to prioritize the Suns players, I'd either it'd be like a 1A, 1B situation between Chris Paul and DeAndre Ayton in terms of priority who to draft, and then Devin Booker is just a clear third option. But, you know, right now Yahoo's saying otherwise, that D-Book is clearly the number one option.
Yeah, so it's funny. The guy that took Devin Booker, his name's Carter, so his picks have been Luka, Devin Booker, and DeAndre Ayton. So something about Ayton and Luka, they're both shooting under 77% from the free throw line. So interesting to see if he kind of employs that punt free throw strategy where he pretty much focuses on every category minus free throw shooting, something that could be very possible. So that's something to kind of keep an eye on. But I definitely agree with you. Devin Booker taken way too early. There's too much value available. I'm actually really happy. I thought they were going to take LeBron at 25 or even Shea. So I was happy to have my options, my picks at both of those with Devin Booker gone.
All right. And at 35, we saw Jaylen Brown be taken. Great, great overall player. 36, we saw Chris Middleton be taken from the Milwaukee Bucks. At 37, De'Aaron Fox. And at 38, Drew Holiday from the Milwaukee Bucks. So, again, just great overall picks. But if you guys see the board right now, just the depth chart, you know, there's still some great value to be had right now. Great overall picks. 40th. Miles Turner just got taken off the board. No surprise there. And at 41st, we see Tobias Harris come off the board.
Someone that I think is interesting that Yahoo has ranked at number 43 is Anthony Edwards. His ranking has really like skyrocketed over the last couple of weeks as we've been doing these drafts. Again, I believe in him, but last year, looking at his numbers, he shot 41% from the field, under 80% from the line. He had good counting stats and everything else, but I don't know. I feel like there's guys that can help you out in more categories than him at this kind of range. Like a guy like OG Anunoby, I would put clearly ahead of Anthony Edwards, and with good reason. OG just went at 43. Rashawn Holmes went at 42. I think they're just in a different class than Anthony Edwards, honestly, right now.
So those were my picks. So thank you, Brian, for the props. Again, I completely agree. And surprisingly enough, John Morant went up 44, 45th, Tyrese Haliburton. So to your point, people are kind of avoiding Anthony Edwards at the moment. I'm sure he will go off the board now. Anthony Edwards is bound to have an amazing year. Yeah, he just came off the board at 46. The only thing with him is just, can he get that field goal percentage up from the low 40s? Can he get his free throw percentage above 80? And can he just start contributing in some of those other stats like rebounds and assists a little bit more? I mean, he's clearly a great scorer, you know, prime time, and he can actually get you some defensive statistics, but can he just elevate his game a little bit more in certain categories?
Absolutely, man. This range right here, that 47 through 60 range, this could be like you can hit on a guy or you can miss big. There's a lot of high ceiling guys, Clint Capella, Porzingis. You have guys like DeJounte Murray as well available, Lonzo Ball. Jaren Jackson Jr. is a risk, I would say, based off his injury. But man, if Jaren Jackson Jr. hits and he's your fourth or fifth pick, I mean, that's a great value right there.
So John Collins came off the board at 47. At 48, we saw Clint Capella come off the board. At 49, Kristaps Porzingis. And at 50, Yusuf Nurkic. A lot of people, you know, Yusuf Nurkic, again, is probably the most controversial player. If he stays healthy, easily top 50 production. But that's a big question mark because, you know, the past 2 years, he's been inconsistent. Someone that I don't think we touch a lot on, Brian, is John Collins. John Collins, to me, if you were to ask me to prioritize, he's a third best Hawk in terms of fantasy production. First is clearly Trae Young, but then second I have Clint Capella for just his contributions on the boards, blocks, and just field goal percentage. Obviously you're punting free throw percentage with Capella, but he just carries you in those other categories so much that I think he outworks, you know, the production that John Collins can give you. What are your thoughts on that?
I am wrapping up my pick here. Danny is very smart. He likes to ask me questions right as I'm picking. I think that's a big reason why I've kind of struggled on some of these last few drafts. But it's perfectly fine. I went ahead and picked Robert Williams at 54. I really, really wanted DeJounte Murray at 53. And of course, I saw the way the draft was going. I was like, I'm not going to get him. So I quickly had to look for a plan B. Didn't have a big, so I figured get a guy like Robert Williams getting you two blocks a game. May not be great with free throw percentage, but again, field goal percentage. Right now, I feel better with my team than just about anybody else, and I have a backup plan for my next pick. I'm just going to tell you now. I'm looking at Draymond Green here with 59 with my next pick. Hopefully, he makes it. Let's see. And then I will get back to your question, Danny. I just want to make sure I secure my guys here. No, if you want it.
Yes. Not a problem. Let me just keep going. So at 51, Jaren Jackson Jr. came off the board. At 52, Lonzo Ball came off the board. At 53, DeJounte Murray. At 54, Robert Williams. At 55, Jonas Valanciunas. At 56, Isaiah Stewart, which to me is just insane that he's going top 60. At 57, DeMar DeRozan. And at 58, CJ McCollum. And lastly, Brian just drafted at 59, Draymond Green.
And so we can get back to your question now, Danny. Can you ask it one more time for me?
Yeah, sure. It's not a problem. It's not like you interrupt me while I'm drafting. But the question was, where do you believe that John Collins essentially lands on the hierarchy with Atlanta? Because right now he's going ahead of Clint Capella. I would disagree with that logic. I would prefer to take Capella over Collins. But I agree. I wanted to know your thoughts.
I agree. So my thing with Collins is it feels like his ceiling on that team is a little limited. I don't think he's going to get you double-digit rebounds because of Clint Capella. I don't think he's going to get you more than 20 points a game because of how many scores they have. And he's not great defensively, at least not that he's shown us through his stats over the past few years. So it just, for me, I struggle to find what category is he going to excel at that makes him better than a Clint Capella. And sometimes when you get past that top 30, top 40 range, you got to start looking at players that can really deliver for you in specific categories. Just to give you guys an example, my last pick, Draymond Green, he's not going to be somebody that I rely on for three-pointers, but he averaged almost 9 assists a game last year as a power forward. So I think the point is you want to look for guys that can excel in certain categories, and John Collins, for me, especially just in his current situation, even though Atlanta invested a lot of resources and money into him, I just don't see him being that guy that is going to be a top 40, top 45. I see him kind of like 55, 60, worst case scenario. He's still a good player. He'll get you 17-7 like he did last year, but not much else.
All right. Thank you very much. Just to keep going in the rankings. So at 60th overall, Derek White got drafted. At 61st. Jared Allen. At 62nd, Darius Garland. At 63rd, Malcolm Brogdon. At 64, Mikal Bridges from the Phoenix Suns. At 65, Colin Sexton. At 66, Terry Rozier. And at 67, Gordon Hayward. Another interesting take that I wanted your perspective on. Oh, at 68, Ben Simmons. In terms of Cleveland, where do you rank just the hierarchy? Do you have Jared Allen or Darius Garland first, or do you have possibly Colin Sexton there?
It's close between Garland and him. To be honest, I really like Darius Garland. I think his ceiling is going to be really high this year. As far as Jared Allen, we know he's going to get you rebounds. He can get you blocks as well. I don't know what his role is going to be now, in the sense that you have Lauri Markkanen, you just drafted, you used a high draft pick on Evan Mobley. It makes me question. With Colin Sexton, if your team is in need of scoring, if your team's in need of 3-point shooting, Colin Sexton's a great value in the 70s range. But honestly, I really like Darius Garland's overall game. He's taken steps every single year, and I think this year's going to be another step forward for me. I think he has the highest upside of all of those guys.
I completely agree. So at 69, Jeremy Grant got drafted. At 70th, I took Kyle Lowry. I might regret having two Heat players, but it is what it is. At 71st, Cade Cunningham.
Yeah, and so Ben Simmons is one that stands out, obviously, here. Still a lot of question marks. Philly really hasn't shown their hand too much on what they plan to do. To be honest, as much as I could see Ben Simmons having a monster year, there's just too many question marks still right now for me to draft him here, especially with his known struggles with shooting and stuff like that. But again, if you're looking for defensive stats, you're looking for assists, Ben Simmons is a good value late in the draft around this territory. He's been where he's been going at just about every draft we've done.
And something to note, I saw a report earlier today that apparently Ben Simmons' camp is now reconsidering the holdout. Just because of the financial implications that missing each game would cost him. Yeah. So again, if you guys aren't up to date with the current Ben Simmons situation, Ben Simmons was due $8 million at the start of training camp because he wasn't in attendance. He essentially, the Sixers withheld that payment from him. And for every game that he misses, preseason included, he is docked $360,000 of pay. So it would definitely have me reconsidering my decisions if that were the case.
100%, man. 100%. And that to me, it's just a risk. There's a lot of guys in these rounds where they're kind of risky. You can obviously take a flyer, and if it pans out, you look like a genius. So it's just that risk. But in a 14-team draft where the draft is going to go pretty deep, as far as into, like, I believe like 150 players or so, you want to make sure that you try to take as many guarantees as you can in the early rounds so that you can afford to take flyers in the later rounds.
I completely agree. Just to recap for our listeners, at 72nd, Jakob Poeltl from the San Antonio Spurs got drafted. At 73rd, Marcus Smart from the Celtics. 74th, Caris LeVert. 75th, D'Angelo Russell. 76th, Chris Boucher. 77th, Pascal Siakam. 78th, Robert Covington. And 79th, Kevin Porter Jr. And at 80th, PJ Washington came off the board. And at 81st, Miles Bridges came off the board. Someone to note in these drafts that's been falling a little bit as of recently is both Chris Boucher and Pascal Siakam, a pair of Raptors. Because of their current status, I believe they're both injured now. They are falling a little bit. Pascal should not be going past like pick 50 in my opinion, but again, given the fact that he's going to miss the start of the season, he's falling. And again, Boucher at 76, it's a little bit of a gamble, but you know, we know his production fantasy wise. And at 82nd, Bogdan Bogdanovic from the Atlanta Hawks.
Yep. And so kind of my thought process with going with Bogdanovic here, obviously kind of, we touched on this. In Yahoo, he's listed as small forward, power forward. With ESPN, he's listed as a guard. So depending on what platform you guys decide to use, that's going to be something to keep an eye on. But I really like his three-point shooting. He gives me a little bit of that. He gets me over a steal a game, which is pretty sneaky good and pretty efficient from the field with 47%.
At 83rd, Kemba Walker. At 84th, Andrew Wiggins from the Warriors. And at 85th, Buddy Hield. At 86, Mitchell Robinson. Big update, Wiggins did finally get the vaccine, so the concern of him missing home games for the Golden State Warriors is completely off the board. Again, that looming doubt that he may not be fantasy relevant is gone.
I'm between Mike Conley and Norm Powell here. I'm going to go with Norm Powell. I like his shooting. I think he kind of surrounds guys like LeBron and James Harden very well, and a Draymond Green who kind of fill up other categories. So I like the fact that he can get you over a steal per game. His free throw shooting's pretty good. Shooting from the field's great. He obviously hit about 2.5 threes per game last year too. So I think he's another good fit to surround my main guys with shooters.
At 88, Mike Conley went. At 89, Evan Mobley. Yeah, I'll be honest. This is, I think, the first year I do a 14-player draft. It's definitely interesting. There's a lot more tactics in it. You know, there's a lot more depth that you need to be considering. You can't guarantee winning every statistic in this league. At least that's the feeling I'm getting right now.
Yeah, there's so many teams. When it comes to that many teams, it's difficult to say without a doubt you're going to be better than every team in one specific category. So you really just try. There's some people who like to do the stars and scrubs method where, you know, they'll basically just draft a bunch of stars as best as they can and then fill out their roster. And in a snake draft, obviously there's less strategy involved. So you kind of get to take the player that falls to you. But at this point in time, man, you're starting to get into that kind of like that reach, or you're going to go for that young guy that you think could blow up. For example, guys like Jonathan Isaac at 94. I mean, personally, I still think that's a little high for him. We didn't have him that high in our draft, in our player rankings, if I'm not mistaken. But even a guy like Jalen Green, who's been going after 100, he just went at 93 in this one. And then Jalen Suggs from the Magic at 96. He had a pretty good debut in his preseason game last night as of this recording.
So to recap, at 90th, we saw Kelly Olynyk. At 91st, Kyle Anderson from Memphis. At 92nd, Devontae Graham. 93rd, Jalen Green. 94th, Jonathan Isaac. 95th, Wendell Carter Jr. And 96th, Jalen Suggs, and at 97 we saw Brook Lopez off the board. So
Danny, I'm going to let you, while you think on your pick here, I'm going to quickly just talk about some of the guys that are left here in this 100 territory. So you have Harrison Barnes, pretty well-rounded guy. Al Horford, a big that can do quite a bit. Daniel Gafford, who a lot of people are expecting to have a breakout year. You have a guy like Spencer Dinwiddie is still available. I thought he would have been gone in the 80s. That's usually been where he's been going. Dan just went with Jordan Clarkson at number 98. Let's kind of see here where he's going to go. Where are you thinking at 99, Dan?
I couldn't pass up on it.
Yeah, I mean, I can't blame you. That was a good value there. Let's see. Wow. I'm looking now. I can kind of disclose my strategy now that Danny has picked his back-to-back. I definitely need another big man to add on with Robert Williams, especially knowing that Robert Williams has a tendency to miss games, which is whoever is going to be a Robert Williams manager this year. It's something you got to take into consideration. I had him last year, and just any injury you could imagine, it felt like was happening to him. So you definitely want to have some insurance for your bigs. And I definitely have my eye on two guys right now, Nerlens Noel and Dan Gafford. I also like Plumlee from the Hornets. And, you know, honestly, I could take a flyer on Mo Bamba. Why not? Kem Birch is another guy. He's been ranked in like the 140s is his ADP, his average draft position. But with the news of Chris Boucher being out for 3 to 4 weeks and Pascal Siakam possibly missing the first couple weeks of the year, I mean, there's no doubt that there's going to be some opportunity, at least in the beginning, for Kem Birch to get some good run.
I completely agree. So at 100, Bojan Bogdanovic from the Jazz. At 101, Harrison Barnes. At 102, Al Horford. At 103, Daniel Gafford. At 104, I think this is Jaden McDaniels from McDaniels from Minnesota. At 105, Sadiq Bey. At 106, Nerlens Noel. And at 107, Evan Fournier. So, Brian, it looks like based off of what you were just saying, you know, two of the guys you wanted came off the board, unfortunately. And at 108, Mason Plumlee. So it looks like Brian's getting beat to the punch on a lot of these players, unfortunately.
Yeah. So, you know, so naturally, like Mo Bamba is ranked 111th. It's my turn to draft. They're saying he's the best value. I could go Andre Drummond if I'm looking for rebounds, averaged 12 boards a game last year. I could look at Montrezl Harrell, who could have a bounce back year with Washington. And then obviously the aforementioned Kem Birch. I'm going to go with, just because this is a mock draft, I don't know if I'd necessarily do this in a real draft. I'm going to take a flyer on Mo Bamba. There's no guarantee that it's actually going to pan out for him. But if you hit with Mo Bamba and let's say things work out, he can fill a lot of categories for sure. And he gives me some blocks, which are much needed. And you know, with Nerlens Noel being taken at 104, that's a big guy when it comes to blocks. So definitely something to keep an eye on there.
Yeah, no doubt. So at 109, Nikhil Alexander Walker. At 110, Brian drafted Bamba. At 111th, Patrick Williams. He's kind of a guy that we have on our sleepers picks. At 112th, RJ Barrett. At 113. Larry Nance Jr. And that 114th, DeAndre Hunter. That's a very good sneaky pick. Guy that often gets overlooked, to be quite honest.
This is a tough decision. If I don't take TJ McConnell now, I will not get him. And I really love what he brings to the table as far as assists and steals. But with the way I drafted this time around, I'm going to go with another big. I'm going to go with Drummond here. I like his rebounds, 12 rebounds a game coming off the bench. It's just, he's absolutely sick at rebounds. And I don't really have anybody else who is in the double digits. And the way I see it, in the event that this was a real draft team that I have, I'm hedging against a Mo Bamba, a Robert Williams, based off injury, based off Mo Bamba maybe just not being fully there. And then Andre Drummond with, you know, Joel Embiid being a really injury-prone center, I think he's always a good handcuff to have in Philly.
So at 115, Joe Ingles came off the board. At 116. At 117, Brian pointed him out, TJ McConnell. At 118th, Ivica Zubac. At 119th, Keldon Johnson. So yeah, these drafts are just getting very, very, like, you know, bare in terms of just availability for players. Definitely interesting how things are panning out. At 120, Duncan Robinson came off the board. At 121, Kyle Kuzma.
So as we've kind of talked about in some previous drafts, this is where you want to just fill out your roster. You know, in a 14-team draft, it gives you a lot of time to, between picks, kind of analyze your picks thus far. Obviously, Yahoo does a really good job at breaking down per category of, you know, I like to look at their average stats from the year before. Obviously, you can look at projected stats, but, you know, I kind of just gauge, okay, this is how this player did last year. You know, I take into consideration, are they in a new team? You know, like, for example, I have Michael Porter Jr. I know Jamal Murray is going to be out for half the year at least. So I can kind of bank on, you know, hey, yeah, he averaged 19-7, but I can probably anticipate he's going to finish over 20 points per game. And you just kind of build around that. And just based off that, you make decisions that are best for your roster kind of at this point. And also kind of try to take the best player available. If it's possible at all. And now Danny all is right. Picking here with 126, 127, the back-to-back. Where's your head at, Danny? I see you have Daniel Tice at 126.
Yeah, I just like what Tice brings to the table, honestly.
I agree.
In terms of defense stats.
Yep. And as we mentioned, it looks like from the previous episode, Daniel Tice is expected to be a starter in Houston. And then he went ahead and compounded that with Thaddeus Young. Thaddeus Young is definitely went a little later than he's gone in some of our other drafts. I've seen him in that anywhere from the 95 to 105 range. So for him to go at 127, I think, is a pretty good value for you, Dan.
Thank you. I appreciate it. To quickly recap just where some of these picks went. At 122nd, we saw Jayshon Tate from the Houston Rockets get drafted. At 123rd, we saw Chuma Okeke from the Orlando Magic. 124th, Tim Hardaway Jr. 125th, Reggie Jackson. 126th, Tice. 127th, Thaddeus Young. 128th, Lauri Markkanen. At 129th, Derek Favors. At 130th, Montrezl Harrell. And at 131st, Tyler Hero. Which, it's interesting. I just saw Tyler Hero's only put... like, his position's only a point guard. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
And then at 132nd, Kem Birch.
Yeah, that's interesting. I know Miami was using him, like, in the point guard role last year, but, I mean, I really would consider him more of a shooting guard. So, again, stuff you have to just take into consideration when you're drafting here. Let me see.
So where's your headspace at right now?
So what I'm doing, in looking at my roster, there's a couple of areas of opportunity for me. I would say probably blocks and threes are like the two areas I'd like to improve on the most. So I'm kind of just sorting by category, like seeing, hey, based off last year, who finished top 3-point shooters, who are the top blocks players in the game last year. So Joe Harris pops out. I'm not necessarily looking at who's the best available, because to be honest with you, there's guys that I was looking at, like a Malik Beasley that just went at 135. I would have loved him there, but it's just not going to happen. So I just kind of you have to be ready to pivot and kind of have a backup plan if plan A doesn't go through. Let's see.
And I agree. So to recap, Kem Birch went at 132nd. At 133rd, Bobby Portis, very sneaky pick in my opinion. At 134th. James Wiseman. At 135, Malik Beasley. At 136, Will Barton. At 137, Marvin Bagley III. Very interesting pick there. At 138, Brian went ahead and took the flyer on Joe Harris.
Now
at 139, Dylan Brooks.
Just trying to see like what else I need. I probably need some score. Maybe I could use another scorer, honestly. Let me see. Yeah, because when you take Draymond, while you get the defensive stats, you definitely, as a starter, you lose out on some offense. So I think it's always important to kind of round out your roster as well as possible. So I'm going to look at guys who, you know, maybe had a pretty high, like, points per game and then go from there. Let me see.
At 140th, Aaron Gordon from the Denver Nuggets. At 141st, Dennis Schroeder. At 142nd, Rui Hachimura. Yep. And now Brian's up next with his pick.
So I'm going to take a flyer a little bit on a guy that I know Danny has either wanted in a couple drafts or has picked up. I think at this point he's a pretty good value. I'm going to go Kelly Oubre Jr. here at 143.
Yeah, I think that's a really solid pick. I think he's going to get you some pretty decent stats all around.
Yeah. Get me points, 15 points per game last year. And he obviously didn't even have his best shooting of the year, his best shooting of his career last year. He got off to a really slow start and then slowly kind of picked his way back up. I think LaMelo is going to make his life a lot easier in Charlotte and help him find some easier buckets. So that's kind of my thought process. Getting him this late in the draft, I think, is a steal. He was going a lot earlier in some other drafts.
Agreed. At 144, we saw Seth Curry come off the board. At 145, John Wall, and at 146, Josh Giddey, and at 147, Alexei Pokuševski. Very interesting picks. I really am high on Giddey, probably a little bit higher on him than Poku, just based off of Poku's performance last year and what Giddey can contribute to the team instead of Poku. But overall, at this point in the league, like in the draft, these are just some high potential guys on a team that doesn't have a lot of talent around it right now. So, you know, you might as well essentially take a gamble here and hope for the best with these guys.
Agreed. And I'm just sorting by average draft position with the guys that are left right now, because again, this is where we get to those guys where the common NBA fan is just not really going to know much about their stats. So just to quickly go, Alex Caruso, Yahoo has him ranked in the 300s, which I think is absurdly low. And his average draft position is in the 134. Eric Bledsoe, also 135 is his average draft position. Lou Williams, 136. Again, you're looking at some older guards. That's kind of where I'm at. I'm looking for point guards, maybe even shooting guards that could potentially contribute here. Jordan Poole is available. He just had a monster game in the preseason. 30 points, 5 boards, 5 assists. You got Marcus Morris on the Clippers. Again, Kawhi's going to miss, if not the entire season, most of the season. If I'm Danny, that's a guy that I'm looking at because I know he can get me points. He can hit threes. He's pretty efficient as well. Dorian Finney-Smith, if you're looking for kind of a little bit more of a 3-and-D guy, I think Dorian Finney-Smith is a good flyer. Darius Bazley, a young player from OKC here who can get you a lot of rebounds. He actually averaged 13-7 last year, so this is actually not a bad pickup. You can also look at a Steven Adams if you're looking at for more of a, you know, rebounds, if that's what you're needing. There's some value to be had here for sure.
And I agree. So just to recap right now, Killian Hayes at 148, at 149, Kevin Herter at 150, D'Anthony Melton at 151, Isaiah Roby, and at 152, Enes Kanter. Next guy I'm going to pick, he's kind of a surprise to a lot of people. It got pointed out to us from some fans on Reddit just as a potential sleeper. I completely agree with their logic. Tyrese Maxey, probably going to be a starting point guard in Philly. So, you know, at least for the time being. And we know what he can contribute off the bench. And then I'm going to round that out with where was he? I just saw him. I'm going to take a flyer on Derrick Rose.
Nice. Nice pickup for sure. I'm surprised Derrick Rose fell to 155th. Again, guys, Kemba Walker, as good as he's looked in the preseason game tonight, there's just no guarantee that knee is going to hold up for the entire season. Obviously, Derrick Rose has some durability issues of his own, but he did play pretty much a full year last year. So you can only go off of what you've seen recently. And Rose and Tibbs seem to have a pretty good chemistry together. But I really like Tyrese Maxey pick. I think that's someone that a lot of people are not really keeping an eye on because he doesn't necessarily show up. Sometimes you do have to dig a little bit to find some of these diamonds in the rough, but you really got to know the situation for some of these players and understand, like, okay, with Ben Simmons out, Tyrese Maxey could definitely benefit.
Someone else that, you know, just to throw out names that could hit, someone like Cole Anthony, again, lots of potential there. He could easily have a great year. Beyond that, you have some rookies with a lot of potential. So someone like Scotty Barnes that had a great preseason game. Obviously, it's a preseason. Let's not overreact. But based on the comments, it looks like Nick Nurse promised that Barnes would have a huge role right out of the gate. So it remains to be seen what he's going to contribute. Davion Mitchell, possibly. We know he's kind of a defense specialist, so he can get you a couple of steals and kind of be a lockdown. You may be punting free throws, but again, at this point in the draft, you're looking for some diamonds in the rough. Talen Horton-Tucker, what's he going to contribute to the Lakers this year? Obviously, they did sign him to a relatively big contract in terms of the Lakers, so they are expecting him to contribute, possibly be that sixth man off the bench. So again, there's a lot of potential here with these picks, and we're not even touching some of these guys at the top, like Steven Adams. You know what you're getting from him. So, he just came off the board, but just a really overall solid player. Someone like Justin Holiday, that again, overall really solid. He can get you stats pretty much everywhere, and he's pretty reliable across the board. So, Brian, yeah, where's your head at?
So there's a couple guys I'm looking at. I need another point guard because really all I have is James Harden and LeBron James. And while that should last, by the way, Klay Thompson just went off the board at 163. If I could have a do-over, I would consider taking Klay Thompson instead of Kelly Oubre for sure. So I kind of forgot about Klay there. It happens. But I am looking at point guards. I'm looking at Ricky Rubio because – you know, he just gets you assists. That's something you can always rely on. And he's surprisingly really good with steals as well. He averaged 1.4 a game. He's going to absolutely tank my field goal percentage at 38%, but it might be worth it with the categories he can contribute in. Some other point guards I would consider a flyer on. I love Jalen Brunson from the Mavericks. Malachi Flynn, I think Toronto sees something in him. Campaign played really well in the playoffs when Chris Paul was out. Facu Campazzo is a guy we really haven't talked about much, but I think he's going to be somebody that gets a lot of minutes in Denver, splitting the role with Monty Morris. So those are some guys I would consider as well.
All right, just to recap a couple of the picks, because some have come off the board. So at 156, we saw Marcus Morris Sr. from the Clippers go. At 157, we saw Dorian Finney-Smith. At 158, we saw Eric Bledsoe. At 159, Gary Trent Jr., which is shocking, he fell that much. At 160, Darius Bazley. At 161, Steven Adams. At 162, Desmond Bane. At 163, Klay Thompson. At 164, TJ Warren. At 165, Monte Morris from the Denver Nuggets. At 166, Brian took Ricky Rubio. At 167, Brandon Clark. At 168, Danny Green. At 169, Jalen Brunson. At 170th, Alperen Sengun, the rookie from Houston. And at 171, let's see where Brian's headspace is at. I believe this is the last pick, so let's see where he kind of rounds out his team.
Yep. I'm going to go with another big, again, just insurance, someone reliable, solid, Serge Ibaka. I know he's missed a lot of time, but when he does play, he gets you blocks, he gets you threes. He's pretty reliable when he is playing.
All right. And then at 172nd is LaMarcus Aldridge from the Brooklyn Nets. Hopefully, you know, he can remain healthy. He can play out the entire year. You know, we're hoping that he can contribute to this championship contender at the end of the year.
Someone that I wanted to take, if I didn't take Ibaka, just went off the board. I was going to tell Danny to draft him, and I think Danny would have taken him if he was available, was Terrence Mann. He went at 174. Again, guys, you got to take into consideration, Kawhi Leonard is going to miss pretty much the entire season. Terrence Mann is a young player. They're going to load manage, in my opinion, quite a few Clippers, my pick, Serge Ibaka included. Terrence Mann is a very good sneaky sleeper, especially in a 14-team draft. With a 12-team draft, maybe you could probably try to hold off and see if you can pick up in waivers, but I think Terrence Mann can really take a big step up this year.
I agree. I'm kind of stuck. I'm between two players right now. I don't know if I should be between these two players, but I'm between Scottie Barnes and Davis Bertans. And I'm leaning more towards Scottie Barnes just solely based off of his potential and what the Raptors might do with him.
I agree with you, man. I think Barnes, obviously, we've seen some good things from him in summer league and preseason. You know, you can only control what you can control. But I think he, again, for sure, even as a rookie with Siakam missing some time, with Boucher missing some time, there's going to be opportunities for him to go ahead and make an impact. And, you know, remember, he's a top five draft pick this year. So they're going to want him to get him minutes.
So just to recap really quickly before the draft runs out, at 173rd, Terrence Ross. At 174th, Terrence Mann. At 175th, Royce O'Neal. At 176th, Dante DiVincenzo. At 177, Danilo Gallinari. 178, Lou Dort. At 179, Malachi Flynn. At 180, Josh Richardson. At 181, Victor Oladipo. And lastly, at 182, Scotty Barnes. So, you know, guys, something to emphasize too is that there's still quite a bit of value left on the board when it's all said and done. We have players like Justin Holiday that never got picked up. We also have players like Nicholas Claxton that can provide fantasy value. Brian touched on this player earlier. Someone like Alex Caruso, a Matisse Seibel who can give you some pretty good defensive stats, a Jay Crowder, you know, a Lou Williams, a Josh Hart who's a very good rebounding guard. So again, just lots of value that's still left on the board when it's all said and done. There's going to be people that, you know, are available for you at the waivers if you messed up a pick or if you just kind of regret taking someone. I know my biggest regret is probably locking into Jimmy and Kyle Lowry right off the bat. But, you know, these things happen. It is what it is. Overall, I'm pretty satisfied with my team. What about you, Brian?
Yeah, and I mean, I got to give you credit because it's always tough to be the 14th pick because by the time you pick, there just wasn't a ton of you lose on that. That high-end production that some of these other guys give you. So, you know, really tough. Even though you have the back-to-back picks, you're losing a little bit of that star power a little bit. So obviously you do the best you can. As far as my roster, I mean, I feel like I did a great job. James Harden, LeBron James, Michael Porter Jr., Draymond. You know, I have some good rebounding with Andre Drummond, three-point shooting with Joe Harris. I got assists and steals with Ricky Rubio, Kelly Oubre with some scoring off the bench, and then Serge Ibaka is just a pretty good well-rounded big as well on the bench. You really just do the best you can in these 14-team leagues. You want to make sure you look for those sleepers. Just to touch on a quick couple of guys that maybe didn't get drafted again that I, you know, Matisse Thybulle you called out was a good one. Goran Dragic, I mean, you know, he still produced last year in Miami. We don't really know what his role is going to be exactly in Toronto, but again, someone that has consistently produced. Kendrick Nunn in points leagues is someone to keep an eye out on. Nick Batum is a guy that we had in our top 150 that Yahoo has ranked at 212. But again, with LA's situation, they're going to need scoring. I could see his points per game going up. He's really efficient from the free throw line, hits threes, plays solid enough defense. Those are guys that you can kind of consider for flyers. Dwight Howard, again, he's kind of a name that people kind of laugh at, but you look at Dwight Howard's numbers, 58% from the field last year. He had 8.5 rebounds a game, pretty much a block per game, and he barely played minutes. So not going to be the biggest role guys, but in the event of any injuries, these are guys that you can kind of keep an eye on.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Ultimately, we want to hear your guys' thoughts. We want to hear your guys' opinions on our teams. How did we draft? Give us your feedback. You know, who won this draft? I know right now we're kind of doing a running bet. I think I'm up 2-1 in terms of drafts from our competing teams. So who won this draft? I probably tip my hat to Brian. I think he had a really good draft. I like my draft, but I'm struggling to see some filling in some holes, given the fact that, again, some categories you're just not going to win. But do I win my other categories handsomely? That's the bigger question. But, you know, let us know your thoughts, guys. Please interact with us on social media once again or just across any platform. Give us your thoughts. Give us any feedback you may have. And we'll make sure to just keep you guys posted on any upcoming fantasy news. And we'll constantly be posting any fantasy relevant news, such as, you know, the rule update that, you know, we saw recently. Steph tried to take a wild shot and he didn't get called for that shooting foul. So, again, kind of it's not a major change, but it does affect fantasy nonetheless. And just any potential outcomes. I wouldn't be surprised at the way the news is breaking if Ben Simmons is actually there for the start of the season. So, until next time, guys. Brian, I don't know if you have anything left to say, but take it easy.